Father, we come to you once again. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for this day. Lord, the opportunity we have once again to assemble together in your house to worship you and to study your word. Holy Spirit of God, we pray you will be our teacher today. Pray you will lead us and guide us in all that we say and do today. We give you now this time as you give them to us, Lord, to bring honor to you. Lord, bless each one that's come today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, last week, we talked about where we once were. Talking about lost people. We went from being lost to becoming a child of God. And we talked about what we once were. We also talked about what God did. How he loved us. He liberated us. He lifted us up. Not only what he did, but why he did it. He did it for us to be trophies of his grace in chapter 2, verse number 7. And then we talked about how God did it. He did it by grace, through faith, of course, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are who we are today. We're children of God. Thank God for being a child of God. Amen? Thank God for being saved. Thank God for salvation. And I'm glad today to know that you can be saved and know it. And all that. But we look at salvation as an individual now. We come from a lost person to a saved person. Okay? What we used to be, what we are today, all by the grace of God. Now, today as we look at this, first of all, I want us to review a little bit about salvation. Salvation comes from, or proceeds from, the very love of God, right? He loved us enough to save us. So it's the love of God that gives us the opportunity to be saved. Not only that, we look at salvation, we see it's based upon the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he had not come and been crucified and died and buried and rose again the third day, we would have no hope. We would have no hope as a lost person, as we were in the beginning. Okay? So we see here that salvation comes from God by his love. We also see that it's based upon the gospel. Here in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also see today that it's realized by those that are saved. Now, how does a person realize they're saved? Tell me, help me today. How do you know you're saved? Holy Spirit, okay, he lives within us, okay? How else do we realize, really, what happened to us to be saved? How do we get saved?
Ask the Lord.
Huh? Ask the Lord, okay. What else? How do we get saved?
Conviction.
What?
Conviction.
Conviction, okay. What does John tell Nicodemus?
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey, right.
Believe.
What did John tell Nicodemus?
Believe.
Okay, he must be what?
Born again.
You must be born again to become a child of God, okay? And so we see that salvation is realized. I thank God that we can know that we're saved, amen? We don't have to wonder or think or doubt. We can know that we're saved, you see. And all this because of what God has done for us. But now I want us to back up a little bit further. What did God ask us to do to get saved? Believe. What?
Confess our sins.
Confess our sins, okay. Now, in confessing our sin, what did God do? He saved us, but what else did he do? When we ask him to forgive us, what does he do? Okay? Asks us to save us. He forgives us, right? That's what I meant. I got my cart before the horse there. But he forgives us. So what I'm saying is this. Because of Jesus Christ offering to us forgiveness, we can be saved. Okay? Not only did he offer it to us, he forgave us, did he not? He introduced forgiveness to us that you and I could be saved. Listen, that's the only way we can be saved is to be forgiven. We have to be forgiven to be saved, do we not? That's the only way to be saved is to be forgiven. And so we see today, we're going to look at the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. You know, if God had not forgiven me, I'd have no hope. We'd have no hope. But he forgave me. He chose to forgive us of our sins and all of our iniquities. Therefore, we have the opportunity to become children of God because of forgiveness. Yes, I'm saved. I know it. I'm born again. I know it. All these things, but it's all because He forgave me. He forgave me. If he had not forgiven me, I'd have no hope. We'd have no hope today, folks. He forgave us. So we see today, as we look at the power of forgiveness, I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's see what the Bible says about forgiveness. About forgiveness. We see here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, says that it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus now, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Notice verse 4, and what? Forgive us our sins, for we also, what? Forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now what do we see here? We see here that Jesus, as he's speaking here, he's reminding that forgiveness should be a character of our life as a Christian. Forgiving. Because, first of all, Jesus Christ forgave us. Amen? He's the example. Therefore, forgiveness should be a character of our own life. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do for the believer. You know that? Forgiveness is a hard thing for anybody to do. Especially sometimes for a believer is to forgive. Because we think the sin that needs to be forgiven has done a lot of damage to us. All of us have been hurt in our life by things that people said or done. And it's down here, isn't it? It's down here. And it's hard to get it out. It's hard to forgive it because it's done so much damage in our lives that we have a hard time forgiving it. Forgiving it, you see. But forgiveness seems to, when we forgive, when somebody's hurt us, we're thinking in our mind, if I forgive that person, they're off the hook, right? They're not accountable. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not what forgiveness is. See, that's not what it is here. Pain in our hearts, when we are hurt, creates a barrier that sometimes prevents us from forgiving because of the pain that's within us. Therefore, we don't want to forgive. We have a tendency not to forgive. It's our human nature, is it not? Our nature is that way. And we're made that way, you see. We see, so our pain and our brokenness seems unending when we have been hurt in our lives. There's not a person here today that has not been hurt in our lives. We all have. Our circumstances, situations, whatever it is in our life. And sometimes it's hard to release that pain, you know, get it out of us, you see. It's hard to forgive. Forgiveness will never be easy, folks. Forgiveness will never be easy. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as he died there. You think it was an easy thing for him as he hung there and died for you and I? But before he died, what did he say? Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think that was easy for him to say that, do that? It wasn't. But you know he did it. You know why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. See, forgiveness comes from a loving heart. A loving heart. It's only through forgiveness can healing begin. Healing can only begin in our hearts and our soul by forgiveness. Learning to forgive. Folks, listen. It's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's hard to do sometimes. But this is the beginning of a healing when we learn to forgive. And we can only forgive because of the grace of God or by the grace of God. Just like he saved us. Just like he saved us. You see, forgiveness, I don't like to put it this way, but I don't know how else to say it. Forgiveness was invented by God. Was it not? He said, forgive. Therefore, we're to forgive. God is the first one to forgive. And his children will also forgive. Because we want to be like Christ, don't we? We want to be like him, you see, in our lives, you see. So we see here, forgiveness is come from God. When we come to terms in our life Will the world, that which is despised and hates us, so to speak, will learn to forgive. We learn to forgive. And we see he invites us to forgive because he forgave us. Therefore, we also are to be forgivers of anything that happens in our life. See, we see here in this passage of Scripture here, Jesus himself, we see he reminds us about forgiveness. As a Christian, we ought to have that character within us to forgive whatever's taken place in our life by someone or something. Now, when God became a man and walked on the face of this earth as a man, we find that the Pharisees mocked him, did they not? They mocked him. We also see the people of his hometown, they tried to kill him. They literally tried to kill him. And we see also that the Jews and the Romans, they crucified him. They put him on a cross and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something. When Jesus was on the cross, dying for you and I, we see on that cross, there flowed a river. And that river was flowing to all mankind, and that river was a river of forgiveness. Because it said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the beginning of forgiveness, is the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross when he died for you and I. Every person must change his or her mind about our condition before God. We must do this. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Only God can do it when we ask him to. Only God can do it, you see. Listen, we're not okay, folks. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God is who we are today. You know? And we must recognize that every man is guilty and we are condemned. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. Mankind is condemned because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. This acknowledgement points us, and our hope is only Jesus Christ. But we must recognize that we are sinners and that we are lost. And we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness, you see. So we see here the Lord Jesus Christ being our example. Now, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're talking about forgiveness. Talking about forgiveness today. The power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 21. Then came Peter to him, that is Jesus. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Now notice here is a normal question like Peter would ask. Peter realized that if people injured me, if people hurt me, what am I to do for them? What am I to do to them? Am I to forgive them? Am I to forgive them? He says here, this is the question that Peter asked. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ, how often would I ask forgiveness? How many times would I forgive them? He said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Till seven times. Now notice the Lord Jesus' his response in verse number 22. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, what does the number seven represent? Completeness, okay? Completeness till it's over. Well, now when Peter asked the Lord Jesus here about how many times should he forgive, Peter knew that the rabbi said three times is sufficient. Okay? He was taught that by them. Three times is sufficient. So we see Peter trying to be spiritual, if you please, before Jesus, he went to seven times. Not three times, he said seven times, you see. And that would be enough. Peter is saying that. But he was reducing, if you please, love to logic. He was trying to think logically. Seven times should be enough. And this would be show my love. This would show my love to this individual. He also was reducing mercy to literally math. When he said seven times, seven. And we see here what happened here. Forgiveness is beyond the normal, folks. It's beyond the normal. How old should I forgive? 7 times 7 is what, 49? Well, no, not just 49 times. We should forgive till it's completed. Okay? Till it's over with. It's settled. Okay? It's something I'm not going to think about no more. It's just settled. Forgiveness should be that many times. How many times it takes? Sometimes it takes a lot of times, but sometimes we realize here that Peter has come to Jesus and asked him, and Jesus has told him how many times. Not to seven, even 7 times 7, but until it's complete. Until it's over with, Peter. That's how often you do it. Now notice here, forgiveness is beyond the natural. This is how God forgave us. You know, I'm so glad that God hasn't forgiven me just 7 times, aren't you? I'm so glad he hasn't forgiven me 49 times. But he just keeps on forgiving, don't he? He keeps on and on and on and on. And that's the way it ought to be in the life of a believer, because Jesus is our example. The power of forgiveness is tremendous to recognize. The power of forgiveness, what does it do for us? Our minds, our emotions, our beings, all, if we'll learn this thing about forgiveness, how we ought to forgive as Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Now, first of all, forgiveness is needed, is it not? Would you say amen to that? Forgiveness is needed in our lives. It is, every one of us. We also see that why does forgiveness exist? It exists because of sin. Sin in our own lives, our own hearts. Sins in the hearts and lives of other people. Forgiveness exists because of sin. Because sin exists. Now, would you not say today that the world needs forgiveness? The world does need forgiveness, doesn't it? The whole world needs to be forgiven, you see. Now, forgiveness is not about ignoring wrong, okay? It's not about ignoring evil or wrong. That's not forgiveness. But we see here, the world needs forgiveness. The book of Romans declares that we all are sinners and have come short of the glory of God. Amen? Every one of us have come short of the glory of God. We also see that forgiveness acknowledges a wrong has been done and then doing something about it. That's what forgiveness is. Acknowledging there has been a wrong and then doing something about it. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness, you see. Now notice, this is why repentance is necessary. Repentance is necessary. Not sorry because I got caught, okay? But sorry because I'm a sinner. Because I've done wrong. Sad to say, a lot of people have been sorry because they got caught, and that's as far as it went, and it wasn't genuine. And they never were forgiven because of that. No one can be saved, I believe with all my heart, without repentance of sin. You can't do it. It's impossible. A lot of people do a lot of things to try to pray a prayer or whatever, but unless there's true repentance, there's no genuine salvation. No genuine salvation, you see. What does repentance mean? It means to turn back away from. Turn back away from. That's what repentance means. Repentance is the theme of John the Baptist's preaching. Jesus came along and did the same thing, preaching about repentance in his ministry while he was here on this earth, you see. We see here, forgiveness is the idea of sending away or letting go. Sending away or letting go. That's genuine forgiveness. Repentance. And we see here, Jesus, again, teaches us to forgive. Send it away and forget it. Send it away and forget it. You know, some of the hardest things we face in this life is forgetting something that we ought to forget. It's easy to forget something that you won't remember. Amen? But forgetting something we ought to forget, that's another story. See, because of our nature that lives within us, you see. So we see here, first of all, that the world needs forgiveness. The world needs forgiveness. Now, the Bible teaches that God completely forgives sin, doesn't he? He casts them in the deepest sea. They're far as the east is from the west. When God forgives, he forgives, doesn't he? He forgives completely. We see in Ephesians 4:32, that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. In Ephesians 4:32. We also see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. When God forgives us, it's over with. It's over with, you see. Oh, I would that I had the mind of Christ, don't you? When that thing, when things like that come up to me, that I would just forget about it. Completely forget about it, you see. We see that sin is real, folks. Sin is real. That's why Jesus died. Because of my sins and because of your sins. Sin is real. But yet God forgives our sins. You see? He does all that he can for us and for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ does. We see also, for man to receive forgiveness, again, repentance is necessary. It's necessary. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4 tells us that. We don't have time to get to there. But we see God, who is holy, he extends forgiveness to us. How? By the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. All our sins, you see. We see, he died once for all, did he not? He shed his blood one time for all our sins. The sins of all the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he did. It's not that repentance itself can save, but what repentance does, it conditions the heart in which the person can have true belief, true faith in what God can do. We're broken when we repent, you see. Acknowledging we are lost and undone and we need someone to forgive us and save us. That's genuine repentance, you see. So repentance means a change of mind. It's an understanding of our guilt and our loss. Therefore, we call upon the Lord and we repent. So we see, first of all, that sin is real. Secondly, we see that sin is destructive. It's very destructive. Romans 5:12 tells us, because of one man's sin, what's happened? We all are sinners. Because of Adam, we all have become sinners. So sin is very destructive. It's very destructive, you see. Also, we see that forgiveness cost. Forgiveness cost. What did it cost God? His Son. It cost God his only begotten Son. Sin did. And what did it cost Jesus? His life. He laid down his life for you and I. The sin cost. It cost a price that we cannot pay. There's a song now, I forget the name of it. It's something like, I owe a debt I cannot pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Well, that's what Jesus did for you and I. He paid my debt, my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. Why? Because we could not. We could not, you see. It cost God. Forgiveness is more than a few words spoken, folks. It's not just a few words spoken. It's genuine. Forgiveness is power. Forgiveness is a force. Forgiveness is a heartthrob. Forgiveness is an emotion when it's sincere. Forgiveness. It really is. Forgiveness costs. Jesus himself on that cross, he literally went through the pains of hell for you and I and died there. And before he died, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. We can't understand what Jesus went through for you and I, but he did it all. Forgiveness costs, folks. It costs. It costs Jesus. There's no one who does not need forgiveness. We all do. Almost every day, amen? Almost every day, we need forgiveness. You see, there's power in forgiveness, though. There's power in forgiveness. We'll get to that later on. Churches today are sending out missionaries across the world to help people that need forgiveness. You know that? Everywhere. We see the world at this hour stands guilty. The world is guilty today before a holy God. Before a holy God. The world needs forgiveness. The world needs forgiveness. The pardon of forgiveness must be reached for people. It's too late when the opportunity is passed. It's too late when life is over. It's too late to forgive when the clock is silent. It's too late to forgive when you find yourself in a timeless eternity. It's too late to forgive. What a thing. Like Jesus did when he hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. What are we thinking? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive him. Forgive her. Forgive them in our lives every day. Forgive them. Forgive them. There are millions of people on this earth today that are under guilt. And they live their lives that way every day. What a sad way to live a life under guilt when forgiveness is available. Forgiveness is available to all of us every day. It's not easy. I say it's not easy. Forgiveness is not easy. Think, forgive them the darkness that seems to fill our hearts sometimes. Forgive them. Forgive them, he says. All the tragedies and tears that sin has brought upon us. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. The power of forgiveness in our lives, you see. On the other side, we see God offers us forgiveness. It's a plea that God cannot deny. We see that it's a prayer that he cannot refuse when we ask forgiveness. Do you think when you ask forgiveness from God sincerely, he's going to say no? He can't say no because he loves us. He will forgive us if we ask him to. I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad he does. We as Christians should carry the message of forgiveness apart from God. But how will they ever know unless we tell them? Unless we tell them. God help us today to be a forgiving person as the Lord Jesus Christ was. We see in this world we live in today, there's much tragedy. There's a lot of things happening in this world. And we see that today, as you look at the news, and I look at the news, there's protesters everywhere about everything. Nobody's satisfied about anything today in this world. It doesn't matter who had been elected president of the United States, there will still be people in this world that will protest against them. I don't care who it is. You know why? Because we're all wicked. We all have sin in our hearts. And we're not willing sometimes to forget and forgive, first of all, what people have done. God will forget. God will forgive. Will you and I forgive? That's the whole key. That's the whole key. It really is that we might forgive what the way God wants us to. Back in Matthew again, chapter 18. We'll look at the rest of this chapter in just a minute here. We have a few minutes left. I want you to notice what happened. There's a lesson here to learn. I'm going to read the rest of this verse, Matthew 18, verse number 23. Here's a lesson. This is the, talks about the merciful king and the unmerciful servant. Let's look at it. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a big debt, is it not? But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The guy didn't have the money, so we're going to sell everything he's got and he's going to get paid. The servant therefore fell down and worship him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Hear the plea? Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Here's a man, a servant that owed his master. The master approached him with it. He didn't have the money. He begged him to be patient, and I'll pay it. Now, verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. My, what a forgiveness, amen? Somebody said, oh, that kind of money, or that debt, and this servant forgave him. He forgave him of it. But now notice what happened to this guy that was going to forgive him. In verse 28, but the servant that was forgiven from the master, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, folks, there's a big difference between 100 pence and what this other guy owed, 10,000. The big difference is not. But the principle's here. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, his heart has not been really touched, has it, because of what his master did for him. He went out and found someone owed him and took him by the throat and was going to kill him unless he paid him. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Remember, this guy did the same thing he did to the master. The servant did to him. He fell down before him and said, be patient with me and I'll pay you. But notice what happened. Verse 30 said, and he would not. That is, he would not be patient with him, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. He went and put him in jail because he wouldn't pay him what he owed him. Now notice verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. In other words, they went back to the master and told him what this servant did to the servant that owed him some money. Notice what happened. Verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And notice his Lord was wroth, very angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, we see what happened here. These people were not willing to really forgive, were they? They were not willing to forgive. Now, verse 35 is the key here. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not, notice, every one his brother their trespasses. Folks, there's a lesson to learn here. A lesson from God. This is how our Heavenly Father will treat us unless we're willing to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ and people in the world. We have to forgive. Notice, God, his deliverance is enormous here. God's ability is enormous, but also, see, his forgiveness is extravagant in verse 35. He'll forgive anybody anything. But will we? Remember now, he's our example. He gave us the example to forgive, did he not? And we see here in this passage of Scripture exactly how we are. You know, when somebody has done us wrong, we need to be patient with them, forgiving them, and asking God to help them in their lives. Next week, we're going to talk about the psalmist David, the Lord willing, Psalm 51. I want you to read that and study it. We're going to talk about what happened to him, how he got himself caught in sin. He got caught in sin himself. But yet what God did for him, how God responded to him, and how David responded to God because of his concern for his own life. Folks, the thing about forgiveness is something we don't hear much about, but it's very powerful. It's very powerful, folks. It'll change our lives if we'll learn the secret of forgiveness, forgiving one another. See, when I forgive somebody, I'm not taking away their guilt or their wrong. But what I'm doing, I'm releasing from myself that pain of frustration or being upset with that individual, and I'm putting it on them, you see, because I don't want to be that way. I want to be loving and kind to people. You know, the only way I can, I got to get it out of my heart. It's got to get out of my heart. And I can't get it out of my heart myself. It's only by the grace of God that it can be removed from me and from you. Forgiveness. It's a powerful thing, folks. It's needed. It exists because sin exists in lives of people today. May the Lord help us as we continue next week on the power of forgiveness. Father, thank you for the word. We thank you for examples. We thank you for the example of who you are for us, God, that We can look to you, Lord, as our true example that we need to be like. And Lord, I just pray, God, as we go through this study about forgiveness this month, Lord, you would help us all, Lord, to realize that you have forgiven us of everything. Everything we've ever done in our lives, you've forgiven us. And God, help us to be forgiven to others. Lord, make us more like Jesus. God, teach us your word. Lord, may we apply your word to our hearts and lives as we look to you each day and each week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.